Thank you for joining the Faith Church Podcast. Connect with us on social media to receive daily inspiration by searching at Your Faith Church on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Get live streaming notifications, receive daily encouragement, and stay up to date on the latest information. Follow, like, and subscribe today.
You know, I was thinking about recently about how far we've come as a church and the things that we've been, but I also started thinking about the people that were with at the very beginning, people that I thought I was extremely close to, but as the years go by, how many of you are like me, and there's friends that you used to have way back in high school, or maybe elementary school, or maybe even like 6 months ago, or whatever, and but you don't talk to them as much anymore. They couldn't go with you to where you were going. Some of you didn't raise your hand. These are called friends. You want to get these people involved in your life? They're fun to be around. But no, I was thinking about that, but I thought about the people that didn't go. The people that made other decisions when there was a crucial time to say, hey, this is what you need to do. They decided, I'm going to make a different decision. I'm going to go a different route. And it got me thinking about a particular passage in the Bible, and I always like for you to get involved into it and to think about it and place yourself in this moment as someone who's outside looking in so that you can see what it's doing. And it's a story of Paul and Barnabas. Let me give you a little bit of the backstory. So here's Paul and Barnabas, and they're like, you know, they're besties. They're hanging out. They're opening up churches. A lot of cool things are going on. They're getting a lot of people saved, a lot of people helped. Things are going great. Things are going wonderful. But then a particular thing happens in Acts 15, verse 36. It says, after some time, Paul said to Barnabas, let us go back and visit the brothers and sisters, believers, in every city where we preach the message of the Lord and see how they're doing. Paul just wants to go in and kind of check in what's going on. Now, Barnabas agrees, but says he wanted to take his cousin John, who was called Mark, along with them. But Paul kept insisting that they should not take along with them the one who had quit and deserted them. So let me give you my version of how this conversation happened, okay? This is not in your Bibles, so this is just how I see that it happened, okay? So Paul's like, hey, bro, what do you think? We go back to these churches that we started, we can get these people, just check in, see how I do it. Barnabas is like, totally in, sounds like a great plan. I want to take my cousin Mark with us, cool guy, you know him. And Paul's like, yeah, I do know him, and he's a quitter, and that's a no-go for me, so he needs to stay here. And Barnabas is like, hey, whoa, easy, it's my family, so chill out. And Paul's like, yeah, well, we've got to do what Jesus wants us to do, and your family is going to hinder us. This is a good spot to say amen right there. I'll coach you through this. I know the snow and the ice kind of threw you off. I'll coach you through this whole thing today. So here's what happens. They get in such a disagreement. Check this out. Verse 39. And it became such a sharp disagreement that they separated from one another. Barnabas took John, Mark with him. Paul chose Silas. Verse 41 says, and Paul, traveled through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Paul and Barnabas are in this tight relationship, okay? They're buddies, they're pals. But all of a sudden, something comes between them. Something comes between Paul and Barnabas. Now, here's the kicker. Paul writes 3/4 of the New Testament. You're going to see all the great things that Paul did. Everybody talks about Paul, wrote the epistles, everything else. This is the last time in the Bible that you ever see Barnabas. That was it. Barnabas had an issue. His issue was Mark. And the Lord spoke to me and said, what marks are in your life that are holding you back from the destiny that I have for you? What marks are we holding on to in our life? What are these marks? So I started to think about the people that were even in my life or the people that didn't go where I was going to go. I started thinking about myself and what marks that I had held on to for so long. One of the marks that you can hold on to is the mark of insecurity. You know, sometimes the worst place that you can go look at yourself is the mirror. You ever walked into the mirror and you feel good? You're like, you know what? I'm looking good. Things are going good. You look in the mirror and you're like, I look like trash. This is ridiculous. I'm never going to. And then all of a sudden, you're the one who can pinpoint everything that's wrong with you. It's like, is one of my eyes shaped wrong? What? I feel like my nose is off center. I don't feel like my mouth's normal. If you're anything like me, as soon as you get a bump or anything, I'm WebMDing this thing all day long. It's the worst Google site that you could ever go to in your life. WebMD is terrible. I can't stand WebMD. You go there for something minor, and before you know it, you're writing a will, and this whole thing's over with for you. Is there any honest people that are here today? You're just like I am. But the mirror can be the worst place to go. See, God created you for a purpose on purpose. The Bible says that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. He doesn't make junk. It doesn't take him by surprise. It's not like he was working on something massive and wonderful over here and then you just popped up. It's not like, oh, I'm forming out this and I'm making this person. It's like, oh, how'd you get here, Phil? I'll just go ahead, do whatever you need to do. That's not how God works. He formed us on purpose. He made us for a purpose. Then only we can fulfill that purpose. Nobody else can fulfill the purpose that I have. Nobody else can fulfill the purpose that you have. What the mark of insecurity does is try to tell you you're not good enough to fulfill that purpose. That you can't do the things that God has designed you to do. Yeah, I remember my wife, she's sitting down here on the front row, and she really is the hottest woman on the planet. There's no doubt about it. She's an amazing person. She's also married to the most amazing person on the planet. So, oh, nobody clapped on that one. All right. I told you it used to be the mark of insecurity. I don't have that problem anymore. No, I'm just kidding. But when she set out, she wanted to be a cosmetologist. That's what she wanted to do. And you know, she had a disagreement with her father at the time. She wanted to go right into it. And her dad's like, nah, I think you should do this. And she's like, but this is what I want to do. And he's like, nah, why don't you do this? Why don't you go to school for, you know, whatever and not go to school for this when she started out. And so we get married. And she comes to me and she's like, hey, I want to go to, you know, I was thinking about, I've always wanted to do this. And I said, well, go do it. She's like, I don't know if I could do my own business. Or at the time, she said, I didn't think I could do a cosmetologist. So then she ends up, she goes to school. She fought hell to get through it. And she did amazing to get through it. And really is, I mean, the story behind it, it's wonderful. Her persistence and faith and patience through it. And then she's working at a salon. And she gets this thing on the inside of her that she's like, I need to open my own. And of course, there's all these conversations that's happening, right? She's dealing with all this stuff. Nobody in your family owns a business. You're the only one who owns a business. How are you planning on running this? First of all, your husband's bald and you want to be a hairstylist. None of that makes any sense, especially to me, because I get no perks from that at all. People are like, oh, your wife's a hairstylist. That's awesome. That's tough, huh? I'm like, yeah, but my kid's hair looks great. But anyway, so she had to go through this process and everything. Now, the crazy thing about it is yesterday she was leaving the salon that she owns. She no longer works for somebody else. Now she owns the salon. But she had to drop this mark of insecurity. Now, that's not saying that it won't rear its ugly head from time to time. It's not that it won't come back. My oldest son has got beautiful hair. I mean, it's amazing hair. Like, it's almost to the point where I'm jealous of his hair. And I told them, I was like, well, at one time, I had amazing hair. And they laughed, much like you're laughing now. And I said, no, I'm serious. And they're like, Dad, there's no way. Like, you're bald. Thanks. I know that. And I had my mom send me a picture of what I look like because I had blonde hair with curls. Like, the curls were cool back in the day. So, but I had hair with curls, and you're not going to see that picture at all because that one's not getting out. But I had pictures, and I showed it to my kids, and I was like, see, I told you, and they started laughing at me. And my youngest says, oh, thank God you're bald. I I said, oh, thank God you're grounded. And while you're on your way to your room, grab my belt. But it's not to say that insecurity, because when I went, I thought, man, what would it be like to have hair? Because you guys are like, it's cold. It's a whole lot colder when you're bald. Yeah, one bald guy, he knows what I'm talking about. But even insecurity comes back, but you guys say, no, 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 I'm not going to carry this mark of insecurity with me. I'm not bringing that with me. That's not what I'm, because if you carry this mark of insecurity around with you, here's what happens. When we carry marks around, we filter everything through that mark. So if you have a mark of insecurity, you're filtering everything through that. So when someone wants to come up to you and they want to talk to you, what's happening on the inside is filtering everything. You're filtering all your decisions and everything that we're going to say based upon that insecurity that's on the inside of us, based upon that mark that's on the inside of us. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. It says, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up. Here's the reason why. If you have insecurity, typically you're not building people up. You ever seen somebody who gets a new car and they're like, oh, did you see my new car? And have you ever responded this way? You're like, oh, that's a great car. Blue, though? This is the one I hate. Oh, here's my new car. White. Do you know how dirty that gets? How many people have ever said that? You're liars. You know you have. Okay, how many of you ever thought it, but you never said it out of your mouth? You're super holy because we're in church. Okay, fantastic. Have you ever, someone tells you, oh, about the new car, and then you think to yourself what their payment is per month on that car, and you think, it's not worth it. And what do? You justify it, right? We all do. We're like, nah, that's a nice car, but I wouldn't pay that for it. What is it? It's insecurity. Because most of the time, they're getting something that you want or something that we want, but we can't rejoice with them that rejoice. We're cool with weeping with those that weep. It's just a rejoicing with those that rejoice. Because typically what that means is people are getting blessed and we're not. Like, I'm cool with the Bible says, rejoice with them that rejoice and weep with those that weep. The weep with those that weep, I'm fine. Rejoice with those that rejoice is typically because they're getting something that I don't have. So when someone says, oh my God, God just blessed me with a new house. Or, oh my gosh, God just blessed me with this. Somebody walked up to me one time and they said, God just blessed me with an all-expense-paid vacation. And I was like, that's cool, just leave. Nobody cares. Oh, yeah, well, we're going to Arkansas, so there. Not that there's anything wrong with Arkansas. Made a joke last night about Arkansas, and sure enough, two people from Arkansas were in the crowd. And they said, we're from Arkansas. And I said, I am really sorry about what I said. But you can have this mark of insecurity. You can also have the mark of your past. How many guys like me and you have a past? Just to give you a little tip, a past would be like, you know, 2 seconds ago, 3 seconds ago. So for those of you who didn't raise your hand, that's awkward. So how many of you guys like me, you had a past? Okay, there we go. Sometimes my mark of my past can creep up. Here's the reason why. My wife was raised in church. Her aunt and uncle, great people, and they had a church, and she was raised in church. She helped churches and everything else. And so sometimes we'll start talking about our childhoods, and she's like, oh, well, when I was 10, I went to church, and it was such a holy service, and I was crying and worshiping out to the Lord and this and that. What about you? And I was like, not a subject I want to touch, that's for sure, because I didn't see Jesus until I was 23 years old. So how many of you guys know there's a lot of time in there to make a whole lot of bad decisions at the age of 20 till 23? So sometimes this mark of my past can hang on. Maybe you're like me and you can have a mark of your past. You have this mark of your past that you're kind of holding on to. You're kind of going with. Listen, we can learn from our past mistakes. We just can't keep reliving them. Because here's the problem is that when we're in the past and we're focused on the past, that's the only thing. You ever met somebody who was awesome in high school, but they're like 60 years old now? But they can tell you all the stories of high school. Like, oh, you should have seen me. Man, I was awesome. And you're looking at him now and you're like, there's no possible way that's happened. I have a relative of mine that's about, you know, is not really in the best of shape, but they tell me stories about when they used to be in high school, and all I see is the person in front of me. I didn't see the person in high school. So they're like, I was awesome. And I was like, there's no possible way that I believe this story at all. But here's what I've realized with people that can tell you great stories of the past, they also hold on to the bad stories of their past. They can hold on to these bad stories. They can tell you about every wrong that somebody's ever done to them. Paul said in Philippians 3, verse 14, he said something that's very crucial. Now, Paul is setting up churches, that Paul's doing all kinds of great and wonderful things. But here's what Paul said. Paul said, this one thing I do, Philippians 3:13, brothers, I do not consider I've made it my own, but one thing I do. What's the one thing that Paul did more than anything else? He said, I forget what lies behind. That's the one thing I do. I'm forgetting what lies behind. Now, Paul to me is just an interesting story anyway. I find the Bible extremely hilarious. I don't know how you read it, but the Bible is called the Good News for a reason. So if every time you read the Bible, you feel horrible, you're reading this thing completely wrong, right? Because it's the good news. Jesus said, go preach the good news. He didn't say, go preach bad news. So the good news, so to me, the Bible's funny, right? So I started thinking about Paul's life. Paul said, I forget this one thing I do. I'm forgetting those things that lie behind. And I said, yeah, that's pretty good, because Paul was there killing Christians. That's what he did. He was holding the coats of the people that stoned Stephen. So Paul is sitting there killing Christians. And then just one day, he's done. So I started thinking, like if I killed somebody, don't get scared. So his name was Saul. He's killing people. He gets knocked off his horse. And then the next thing you know, he changes his name. To me, I think it's hilarious. Why? Because if you killed somebody and the cop showed up to your house and they're like, hey, we're looking for Phil. I'm like, my name is Bill, and I've wronged no man. I don't know what to tell you. No, we saw you there. No, that was Phil. That was the old me. One thing I do is I forget the past. I'll tell you that much. Think about it for a minute. When you think about it for a second, then you're like, oh, okay, I get it. But to me, the Bible's funny, right? But Paul had this thing in his mind. He forgets the past. And here's the thing is, he didn't say, I just forget the past about the bad things that I've done. He said, I forget the past, good or bad. Because the moment that you think you've arrived, somebody's already passed you by. So if we're constantly saying, I'm forgetting the past, but I keep pressing towards Jesus, I keep pressing towards his dream, I keep pressing towards this destiny and this purpose that God has for my life, if I keep moving towards that, I'll forget all the stuff that's behind me. Paul said, I forget this past. So maybe you've got the mark of your past that you're holding on to. Maybe you got the mark of unforgiveness. I was recently, I told the story that before, is that I met a lady, we were talking, she was telling me about her ex-husband and all the wrong that he did to her, and I started thinking to myself, oh my gosh, this lady is hurt, because she said it with such conviction and such passion and everything else. And I was like, my gosh, how long has it been? A couple months? 6 months? She said, no, it's been 9 years. I said, 9 years? And I felt so bad for her, because in that moment, you could see that she had had this unforgiveness and she had carried it with her for a long time. But here's the thing is, when you have this mark of your unforgiveness, again, what I told you is, you're filtering everything through it. It's the person who's been burned in relationship after relationship. And so what do they say? They give me the same line every time. It's just me and Jesus. That's it. It's just me and Jesus. And I'm like, that's going to be a lonely Valentine's Day for you and Jesus. If you go out to eat, don't tell the waiter that you are eating with Jesus, because they're going to think you're weird. Especially if you're like, no, he's just having water. Don't bring in bread, because if he blesses it, and we're going to have bread out, we're going to have bread everywhere in this place. It's just me and Jesus. I said that last night, and a lady walked up to me, and she said, you know what's funny is, just I said that this week. She said, I just said, I've been in too many bad relationships. It's me and Jesus from here on out. And I said, yeah, but the next relationship. But the next relationship could be the best one. The next one could happen. If you don't get this unforgiveness, you'll filter everything through it. And all your decisions and everything that you're doing, you're filling through this unforgiveness. Now, you don't understand. They burned me one too many times. I got burned by this person, so I'm not going to get into business with this person. And what happens is God is Paul in this story. And God's saying, no, we've got bigger things to do. And we're saying, no, but God, you don't understand. I've been hurt. And he's like, yeah, I know. The cross wasn't exactly nice for me either. That's like Jesus' trump card. You pull out that cross, you pull out that card, you're done. Any argument that you get in, solid right there. If you're like, hey, you gonna come to church? And people are like, I don't think so. You're like, nah, that's good. I mean, Jesus died on a cross, but you can't come when it's icing out. No big deal. We're totally fine. That's the ultimate Jesus trump card right there. It's like, oh my goodness. But what we do is we hold on to the mark. Right? We're saying, no, you don't understand. But here's the thing is, unforgiveness doesn't hurt anybody but us. It doesn't make your, if you have unforgiveness in your life, your faith doesn't work. It just doesn't work. And you say, no, it does work because, you know, I love this one. I've forgiven them. I mean, I'll never forget. But I have forgiven them. No, you haven't. Because if you forgive them, it's as if it never happened. So if we have unforgiveness in our hearts, it gets filtered through that. So all of our decisions do that, and our faith doesn't work. We can say, oh, throw that mountain into the sea. And Jesus said that if I throw the mountain into the sea, if I believe it with my heart and I say it with my mouth, that it's going to come to pass, and it's going to come to pass. And I believe it. Then read the fine print that's on the verse right below it. Because the verse right below it, I think they have it for you, Mark 11, verse 25. Oh, perfect. I had to double check on that one. Thank you, Lord. You guys are like, my God, he knows the whole Bible. That's amazing. I do. And whenever you stand praying, what?
Forgive.
What?
Forgive.
And whenever you stand praying, forgive? If you have anything against anyone, that person that cut you off in traffic, you got to forgive them. Chances are it was me. I'm not going to lie to you. So you should forgive me for that. That person who's wronged you, you got to forgive them. And you say, well, Pastor Phil, you don't know what they did to me. And I'm not downplaying what has happened in your life. Hear me saying that, whether you're in the building or you're online, I'm not downplaying what's happened in your life. I'm not saying that. But I am saying you have to forgive to move on. You're going to have to let it go because your faith doesn't work. It's kind of like when you go to buy a car and they tell you what your monthly bill is going to be. And then you see that paragraph at the bottom that the words are you can barely read what they're saying. But you sign the papers. And you thought your bill was going to be $200 a month. And then when you sign the papers, it was like $253 a month because all of a sudden there's fees, taxes, Tom's haircut, like all these things that you didn't know was on there. Apparently there's a lot of car salesmen in here. I apologize if I've offended you, but have you ever signed those papers or you ever signed a paper and then you realize there was more to it than just that? That's that little fine print that's on there. You can believe God for something, but if you've got something against somebody, if this is the mark of unforgiveness that you're carrying, it's not going to work. I'll tell you this story. We were flying back from West Palm. And I was with Pastor Paul, and it was me in the aisle seat, and then him in the middle seat, and then the other seat was open. And this isn't going to sound very Christian-like, but we've all been here before. But I was hoping that nobody sat in that seat, because then I was going to ask Pastor Paul to move over, and we would have had more room. Now, the Christian thing would have been to be like, oh, I hope somebody sits there, and I can pray for him and lead him to Christ and have a great story for you. But that's not what I was thinking at all. Because the flight was at like 11:30 at night, so I was tired. So I was just, all of a sudden this lady comes onto the plane, and I'll tell you this, she had a little bit to drink at the bar before she got on the plane. That's a lie. She had a lot to drink at the bar before she got on the plane. And as she was coming down, as she was coming down, I started to think to myself, please don't sit there. Because the plane wasn't very full. And you can judge me after I leave. But so, and she started looking at her tickets, and she said, that's my seat. And it was right next to Pastor Paul. And I said, hand me my Bible, because I'm going to need it for this flight. I'll tell you that much. And she sat down, and Pastor Paul had some stuff there, and she just picked the stuff up, and she threw it at him. And I laughed, because it wasn't me. And then she had a little dog in the bag, and Pastor Paul said the dog kept looking at her, like, looking at him, like, please, Mister, just save me. Just get me out of this. And Pastor Paul said, oh, do you have a dog? She said, you didn't see him? And I laughed again, because I thought it was funny. Because Pastor Paul's so nice. I was like, stop being so nice. She obviously doesn't want to interact with us, you know. Then she says this. She says, these two guys smell. I said, put my Bible away. Jesus don't need to see what's about to happen. Look away, Lord, look away. Go be somewhere else. You don't want to see this. I didn't, though. I laughed again because I thought, I've been in West Palm all day in 80-degree weather. Don't get mad at me, but I've been sweating all day. She probably has a legitimate point at this point. But anyway, the way it worked out, we didn't take off. We ended up, you know, transferring flights, and she wasn't on our flight. But I started thinking about that later and thought, I can tell you that story now, and I'm laughing. But how many encounters have we had with people to where they've done something like that, and you can tell every single thing, and it's not laughing. They hurt you. They did something to you. And we've carried this mark of unforgiveness with us everywhere we go. While our destiny is moving, while Paul's going to the churches, while he's gotten Silas, here's the crazy thing. The next chapter, like two verses over, he meets up with Timothy, who he's going to write the epistles to, who's going to start even more churches. And their destiny is tied to people. Your destiny, always remember this, your destiny is tied to people. It is. There's no way you can get around it. Because God said, he put Adam in the garden. If he didn't want anybody else, he wouldn't have put anybody else in the garden. But he gave him Eve, and then he said, be fruitful and multiply. He's always done things through people, right? So your destiny is tied to people. That's why Growth Track is so important for you to get involved in. Especially this week, it's connect with people, right? It's getting involved in an iConnect. Do we get a bonus because you're in an iConnect? No, but I do get the joy seeing when people go in and they go through things, because that's always a misconception. It's like, oh, well, when you get saved, nothing bad ever happens to you. I wish I could slap the person who came up with that saying. That's a little unforgiveness, but you get what I'm saying. But you have these people that are around you that can build you up, that can help you. Because Jesus, here's the thing is I've always realized with people, your relationship with people is really a reflection of your relationship with Jesus. It's your relationship with, if you got insecurity with people, you're probably insecure with him. If you've got unforgiveness towards people, I'm going to say it, there's probably some unforgiveness. You're mad because God didn't do something in the timing that you wanted God to do it in. You ever believed God and prayed God for something and it didn't happen? And then you're like, what? I thought about that statement. I thought, man, I wonder, all the millions of women who prayed to marry me, but they didn't get that prayer answered. I'm just kidding. I just had to beg one to do it. So I was like, please marry me. Please marry me. Actually, funny story, and then I really do have to get going, but she said, when I went to propose to her, I got down on one knee, and I said, she's laughing, because I said, she said, is that for me? And I was like, that depends on what you're going to say. Because if it's a no, then this was not for you at all. And thank God she said yes. But we can't carry these marks around with us, because these marks are only slowing us down for the destiny that God has prepared for us. So if you're in this building, every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're in this building or you're online or you're on Facebook, wherever you're at, and you say, Pastor Phil, I needed this today. There's some marks in my life. Maybe it's the mark of fear. Maybe it's a mark of lack. There's some marks that we're carrying around. We're filtering decisions through it. And we need to get rid of these marks that are in our life. We need to just leave them. Because God's got a destiny and God's got a plan for you. I promise you, there is a purpose for your life, and God is ready to do something amazing in your life. but we got to leave these marks behind. If that's you in here or online, would you raise your hands right where you're at? Because I want to personally pray for you today. Hands going up all over the place. Father, I thank you for each and every single person. God, I ask you to bless them. God, these marks that we've been carrying around, we're leaving them and we're moving on and we're moving forward. God, we know that you've got a plan and a purpose for our life. And we're not going to be slowed down or hindered for everything. We're going to get involved in Growth Track. We're going to go to a connect group. We're going to begin to change our lives. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. I hope that was good for you today. Check out Lori's story.
We're glad you joined us today. We know God is doing so much in and through your life, and we want to hear about it. If you take a moment and send us an email and tell us your story at yournewfriend@faithchurch.com. Also, if you'd like to support and partner with this ministry, we'd love for you to go to faithchurch.com/give and simply select the best giving option for you. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoyed today's message.